We extend Christian greetings to each one present here this evening. We count it a privilege of learning to know more of God's family. As I was thinking of 2 years ago when I got this call, I thought I didn't know anybody in this corner of the world. Well, I find out that I'm from the area where Brother Marvin went to get his wife a number of years ago. And John here and my mom used to fight when they were sisters years ago. So the world is starting to connect, and now we find out the home we're staying is that his wife comes from Canada, and that's where my wife comes from. So, you know, being part of the family of God is exciting. It's a blessing. Just as a basis of introduction, yes, we're from Southern Indiana, the Mount Joy congregation. My wife and I were blessed with 5 children. We're blessed with 23 grandchildren. And just to clarify, we're not that old yet, but time does get away on us sometimes. But anyways, so as we think of fellowshipping this week, I covered an interest in your prayers. And if there's something shared that you have a question about, feel free. We want to share the gospel in its purity and its holiness and not misrepresent anything. And as we think of revival meetings start with a revived speaker, and that's we want to be revived as we study the Word of God. And I also know that for you children, you're looking at here, and a week of revival meetings is a long time. Sitting still every night for a whole week. Well, I'll try to have a little story for you a couple of nights this week. And for an introduction tonight, I want all of you school children to check to see if your shoestrings are tied. Everybody look, children, look to see that your shoestrings are tied. And if not, tie them. I'll tell you a story later on, some other night. All right? Because I think children are such a blessing in the church. And that's why we want to include them. Let's turn our Bibles for a message this evening as we think of a week of revival meetings. My mind, I don't know what where your mind goes or what you think, but our concept of God has everything to do with revival. So we want to start out this evening with my favorite verse in the New Testament, John 3:16, and probably all of us could say that by memory, but let's just turn the Bible and read it. We want to look at a fair amount of scriptures, and I invite you to turn with me as we go through these scriptures. There's something about reading that I think helps penetrate. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Tonight we want to speak on the love of God. Now the songwriter has said, could we with ink the ocean fill, were every man a scribe by trade, and how do you think I'm going to express the love of God tonight in 2.5 hours? Well, I'm not planning to preach that long. But I couldn't. It can't be exhausted. But we want to just give you an appetite, an appreciation. So look at here at John 3:16. Who is God? Who is this God that we're talking about here? And go back to Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning, God. That's when it all started. That's not when God started, but that's when the universe started. And God goes down through there and he creates man. He creates the earth, and he creates all these things. And he blessed it. He was the one that was in control. He was the one that came to Adam and Eve. And he said, you can eat of all these trees out there, but that one tree, you dare not touch that, because the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. God gave law and order in the beginning. And that law and order is going to be established until time will be no more. Till the end of time. When God takes roll call and this earth is going to melt with fervent heat. God is still God. But God today is a God of love. But he's also a God of justice. That's why we go back to there in Genesis when he came to them and he looked at them, Genesis chapter 3, when he came along and he was looking for them. And he said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, well, I felt guilty. That's why I hid myself. But if it wouldn't have been for God's love, He could have killed him right there. Or he could have let him take of that tree of life and live in a sinful state forever. But he didn't. God, the one in control of all nations. I don't care how much power our President of the United States has or any leader has. He is under the authority of God. The universe is under the control of God. Who is making the sun go down this evening? It was established in the beginning of time, and it has functioned precisely since the beginning of time, and it will continue. You know, I find it interesting how they can precisely sunrise, sunset, way ahead. Because God put it in place. That's that great God that we serve. And yet, what did he do? He said he sent his only son. He didn't have 25 children. He had his only son. And he had a relationship with his only son. That only son was one with affection and deep feeling that he had. But he loved you and I as a sinner so dearly that he said, I will send my son down there to die for those people that don't love me. That's the greatest gift that mankind will ever know. He loved us. How do we express love? It's an intense feeling. It's an affection. But it's because you love something, you express interest in something, right? I don't know if there's any dating couples here tonight or not. But if there is, there's an interesting fact that becomes in a couple that starts dating. There is an interest there, but as that interest continues, it develops into love. And it can lead into marriage. And if you're married 10 years and you think you love each other, let me tell you something. 40 years later, you'll love each other better. That's the way love works. And that is what Jesus did here, but God did here with Jesus. But he gave his gift to the unlovely, to those who didn't give it back, to those who had turned their back to him. It says he loved the world. The world. Who is the world? That angry mob that took him to the cross. That judgment hall, that angry mob that spat in his face and accused him of those. God loved them. And that is why Jesus, as he was hanging on the middle cross, could look down over that crowd, that angry crowd, and forgive them. I don't think anybody forgot the view of the middle cross that witnessed the death of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. So we say, so he's one of these people that just the love of God. Yes, I believe in the love of God, but I believe another side of God too. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Here is some more of God's word. This is the finality of things. This is the way that God has given law and order. And this evening, I find it a tremendous blessing. I don't know for how the rest of you, but how would you feel like teaching a Sunday school class or preaching a message to you as church leaders if you wouldn't be convinced that this is forever settled in heaven? This is the authoritative word of God. That's the only reason that I'm willing to stand and try to preach the gospel, because I know it's always sufficient for all needs. It's never outdated, and it's final authority. So let's see what he says here in Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. Listen carefully what it says here. This is the authoritative word of God. That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This God of love that we just got talking about will not tolerate sin. Because he has made the provisions to have sin cleansed, the sin taken care of. So, the works of the flesh. If there's works in the flesh in your life tonight, brethren, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But God sent his Son to whosoever will, if we go on and read the next verse in John 3:17, it says, "But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but what? But that the world through him might be saved." God is in the saving business. There's room at the cross for all. It doesn't matter nationality. It doesn't matter who you are. There's room for at the cross for all. Jesus died for all. He died for Jude, who went out and who betrayed him and went and hung himself. But Jude made a bad decision and ended his life in a horrible way. He died for the Peter that stood there and denied his Lord. And his Lord looked at him, and Jesus looked at him, and he went out and he wept bitterly. But Peter, in his bitterness, came to know the love of God, and he became a preacher of righteousness. Why? Because the love of God came into his heart and changed him. Tonight, the question I have for you, is your name changed? Do you have the new name? Has the love of God immersed you? Are you dripping wet tonight of the love of God? Are you still dry and trying to find your way through life? If you are, my dear friend, I tell you, there's a solution to your problem. And that is the love of God. As it comes into a man, it changes him. The outlook changes. Your name and my name can be put in here. Whosoever will may come. Tonight, as we think of this, God gave what was the dearest to him because he loved you and me. What have I done to him? For him. If you haven't given what's dearest to you for the sake of the gospel, I'd like to challenge you, what is the depth of your commitment? You know, that's for all of us. We think we do. But he sent Jesus because he loved us. That condemnation that was upon us is removed. Let's look at a verse. Why didn't God just continue practicing the Old Testament practices? Those worked under the old dispensation, didn't they? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And let's just reflect on why he brought salvation's plan for us today. Hebrews chapter 10. Begin reading at verse 6. Hebrews 10 verse 6 says, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. And the blood of Jesus Christ, when it sanctifies, it's the best cleansing agent that's out there. It makes you sin free. It's gone. But there's sacrifices that we must make. We must accept it. The animal sacrifices in the Old Testament stayed the judgment. But the blood of Jesus Christ today removed the sentence. Today, tonight, we can look forward to being with Jesus. Let's go back to an Old Testament verse. Isaiah chapter 38. Verse 17. This is an Old Testament verse, but it's a beautiful verse. Isaiah 38, verse 17. "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness." Can you get the picture of this individual that's saying this? "For peace, I had great bitterness." There was a turmoil there. "But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." This is an Old Testament verse that describes the salvation plan that we have in the New Testament. Our sins are washed away. They're no longer hanging on our back. Let's go to the New Testament now. John chapter 15. John John chapter 15. What does love do to us? What does God's love do to us? Verse 9 and 10. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If means pending. Pending, if you keep my commandments, you're going to abide in my love. This love is conditional. You can't say, we can't say today, tonight, that God loves us, that he won't have anybody go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But people are going to go there by their own choice. Because the law has been given. If ye love me, if you pending, if you're going to love me and you say you love me, then you're going to do what? Keep my commandments. What are his commandments? They're right here. And his commandments are not going to be grievous. They're going to become precious to us. Do you enjoy thinking upon God? How often do you think about those things? But here we think of love, something continuing. Love preserves. I have explained it this way already a little bit. We come to Christ because of fear of the judgment. Many times it's the fear of hell. It's the unpleasantness of a guilty conscience. That's why some of the reasons that people repent. But we are a Christian and we stay on the straight and narrow road because we love our Master and we want to please him. We want to follow him. We want to follow his bidding because of a loving relationship. We're not necessarily there. And I'll touch on this maybe later on, but just a thought that you can ponder. For parenting, for parents, as you teach your children, your small child is going to learn to obey because of fear, probably. They want to have their patties slapped. They don't want that to happen, so they will obey. But as that child matures, that child needs to learn to obey because they love you and because you love them. And that's the relationship that we'd have to have with God. God is love. And if you're in God's love, you're dripping wet with love. It will keep you. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Begin reading at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize this peace with God is a gift from God? Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. This is some beautiful promises here, brothers and sisters, that we can claim. Justified. What does justified mean? Just as though I never sinned. Justified by faith. The Old Testament saints gave their sacrifices and their offerings to have peace in their mind. But today we are justified by faith. We have peace with God and Lord Jesus Christ. But then it goes down to verses 2 and 3. Glorying in tribulations. Is there anybody here that enjoys tribulations? The speaker doesn't. I like to be in my comfort zone. I like to be comfortable. But you know what? With God in tribulation, while we're going through the valley of tribulation, the valley of tribulation is near as deep and not near as lonely. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Yes, we're human. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. I'd like to ask you tonight, are you ashamed of the love of God? Well, you would say no. Okay? Just a practical little question for you sisters. If you have a cleaning agent that you like to use in your house, you really enjoy using it. You probably wouldn't tell anybody, would you? Because it might not work. I think you're normal in Virginia. If I know anything about sisters, you know what? They're going to share that. You know, I like to clean my windows with this certain cleaning because it doesn't leave streaks and smudges on my windows. It works so good. But you know what? Why are we ashamed of the cleaning agent of the love of God, brothers and sisters? We have something to offer to the lost and a dying world. Are you excited about the love of God? If you're not, I plead with you, get a spring in your step and the love of God in your heart, and you will find you can't contain it. It has to flow out. The love of God is not a cistern. It's a spring. It's a well. You don't just reserve it. It flows out. And that's what he's saying. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord willing, we may speak on the subject related to this some one evening. But I'd like to just give you something to ponder about. But God commended his love. God told Jesus, I want you to go to the cross and I want you to die for those people in Virginia in 2025. Those people in Indiana in 2025. Well, we believe that, right? But you know what? He meant that also for that brother and sister that may be struggling sitting beside us in the pews on Sunday mornings. He died for them too. He loved them too. Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. What is the wrath of God? It's hell. That's the final destination. But there's other forms of that too. Do you see the miserable condition that many people are living in? The guilty conscience? The forlorn look? The perverted mind? The lust of the flesh? And all those things? That guilt and all those consequences, I believe, are part of the wrath of God. But we can be spared by that by a choice that you and I make. It's up to us. It's a gift. But a gift is of no value unless it's redeemed. I can carry a gift card in my pocket for years, and all I have is a gift card in my pocket. It won't do me any good until I redeem it. And so it is with the love of God. You redeem it when you give your life to Lord Jesus Christ and let him fill it. And let it overflow. And let it flow out of your life and inspire others. But after we have this forgiveness, let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Here we have another beautiful, some more beautiful verses. Galatians chapter 4. Verses, begin reading at verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, or right on time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Does that thrill your heart tonight, that you can be called the Son of God, the daughter of God, Does that give you a little tingling in here? You can be a daughter of the King. The daughter and son and daughter of the one who controls the universe. Verse 6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his sons into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What a blessing that is, an heir of God. An heir is one who has the right for an inheritance. How many of you are looking forward to an inheritance? How many of you are? I hope we all are. Not financial. That's all going to melt with fervent heat. I'm looking for an inheritance of celestial air, of beautiful streets. But what I'm looking forward most is to see Jesus. In my mind, we all have an idea of what Jesus looks like. I think it's going to be gone beyond what we can comprehend in our body that we're in today. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ. I come back again. Are you dripping wet with the love of God? Is it running off? Is it watering other people's paths? How is it with you this evening? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. You know, the day that I was up here front and the bishop confirmed us as husband and wife, I walked out in love. I thought I had just... everything was on my side. It was an exciting day. But you know what? As marriage continues, we continue to walk in love. Tonight, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we begin walking in love. But that walk doesn't stop there that night. It must continue walking in love, as Christ also hath loved us. So how was that expressed? His own agenda was put aside to do his master's will. How is it with us this evening? Going over to verse 25 of chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Tonight, brothers and sisters, we are part of what Jesus died for. He gave his life. He gave all he had. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, the word of God, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. The love of God perfected. How is it with us this evening? 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How do you express your love? I don't think it's coincident. But we have John 3:16 as God's love, expressing how God expressed his love for mankind. And 1 John 3:16 is how mankind is supposed to express his love to God. I find that is divine planning in my book. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. That's an established fact. But the last part is the love of God, and we need to lay down my life for the brethren. But oh, we're so strong men, aren't we? We're such strong Christians. It's hard for me to lay down my life. We're too many times. Was it the two goats that met on the mountainside, on the narrow trail, and they wanted to butt heads? But finally, one was willing to lay down and let the other one walk over. so they could get to their destinations. I'm not talking about compromising tonight. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying when the love of God makes some very ugly things beautiful, when it works in my heart and life. 1 John 3, the beginning of that chapter. Let's go back to there. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. What does love do? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Do you, as you go about your jobs during the day, do you ever stop to think of how lonely some people look? How sad they are? Maybe they have a kind of a hollow look or an empty look. Let me tell you something. You have something to offer to them. You have something to share. A smile on your face, an expression of caring, can go a long ways. Because in verse 2 it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. How is the love of God manifested in your life tonight? Your appreciation for the gift is expressed by the way you share it to those that you come in contact with from day to day. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Let's read 7 also. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. The next verse is some pretty straight verses. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. That's pretty elementary, but it's pretty startling. The love of God. 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, we don't appreciate as parents when our children, we ask them to do something and they walk around with a long face. But how do you think it looks to God when he asks us to do something and we look down and he sees those long-faced Christians? What do you think it makes him feel like? When he gave his best he had, his only son. How can people know that I'm a Christian? By their obedience and by our testimony and by the life that we live. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. This is the side of love that we don't always like to focus on. But it's the reality of love. Hebrews 12, verse 6 and 7. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom his father chasteneth not? Chastening is the proof of the fatherly love of God. Because love corrects. And love admonishes. The love that is not conjoined with reproof is not genuine love. So that takes care of this idea that God is a God of love and takes care of everything else. No, there's correction that comes with it. To love God is an intentional move. Our love for God will bring motivation that supersedes personal agendas. Now, we all have agendas. We all have things that we love to do, right? I do. There's things I enjoy doing. But when my love for God is the way it should be, that's going to supersede what I personally want to do, my personal goals. Our actions every day of the week show the depth of the love of God in our lives. Can you fathom? I'd like you to ponder on this thought as we go through here. Can you fathom the depth of love expressed when Jesus, that was hanging on the cross, asked his Father to remove the accountability of those who scourged him, mocked him, spit in his face, accused him, and then nailed him to the cross. And while he's in that misery, he says, God, lay not this sin to their charge. That is love. That is love. Brothers and sisters, tonight, I don't understand the depth of that love. To love those who admire and praise you is human love, but it's just a matter of returning favors. But to love those who make life challenging is Christ-like love. To be constantly initiating love is Christ-like. God gave all he had. He gave his best. What depth of commitment are you willing to give this evening? In closing, I'd like to go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distresses, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We have counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors for him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's going to separate you from the love of God? This is a burden I carry. I see people who were, I consider, solid Christian people. They reach that milestone of 50, 60 years old, and they get weary in well-doing because of trials that come their way. And they grow cold at their love for God. So the question I'd like to leave tonight is, how committed are we? We're not home yet, brothers and sisters. We're not home yet. But God loved us, adopted us. But it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of Bible reading, a lot of prayer to go through these things. Here he says that neither death nor life. You know, we just come through this era of time that's 500 years that those two men that were baptized there knew they put their life in danger because they love God so dearly. Today we're living in a land of freedom. How committed are we? How committed am I? Nor height nor depth shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. How committed are you tonight? I'd like to sing the song on 153 in Hymns of the Church in closing. I feel like I've only kind of a scratch and a sniff message of the love of God. You barely got a sniff of it. But I hope it inspired you to search it out. And let's, as we sing this song, think of the writer here using the depth of his imagination, trying to stretch it out. So as I have it, so statistics I have here, and he mentions here that every scribe, a scribe by trade, there's over 8 billion people. Can you picture 8 billion people writing about the love of God? I can't fathom it. But I can tell you one thing. This group that is called brethren and sisters here of this congregation and whoever congregation represented tonight, as we write the love of God out in our communities, it will astound them. We are part of those 8 billion people that need to do the writing. And I'm not talking about writing on the chalkboard. I'm not talking about necessarily writing a letter. Is my life writing his story? Let's sing this song and ponder of it. And as we sing it, I guess I like to see excitement in this song. Because why? It has made the whole difference in my life. No longer a sinner, but a saint because of the love of God. And if that doesn't put a joy of in your heart to sing, I'd like to visit with you a little bit longer. Let's sing this song. The love of God
is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty bear bowed down with care, God gave his son to
Thank you. I love that enthusiasm. That was the blessing of the night, to hear your enthusiasm that you expressed. Is there anybody who'd like to share a testimony or something of the love of God? Feel free to do so.